This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. This is our special episode covering the midterm elections. Rabia here, and I'm joined with Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Rabia, you did not answer the phone last night.
You know what? I saw a missed call. I was up like in the middle of the night, don't ask, like at 3 a.m., and I saw a like 12:30 a.m. missed call. Was that you drunk dialing me?
I told you I was gonna.
You know, I think I just fell asleep when I was putting the kids to sleep or something. I missed it. And I was so... Did you leave a message, by the way?
I did. Unfortunately, it was not a true drunk dial because we did... So, Ruddy and I last night, if you heard our Patreon episode, we had a... At my watch party, we had conditions for our two bottles of champagne. We opened one and we met the second. But by that point, it was too late and we were all falling asleep. So...
Oh.
We did
I
not
just found your message.
It.
Should I play it?
Yes, go
I want to
for
play
it.
Your message. Hold on a second.
From you. I know you're literally you just emailed me at work, so I know you're there. Answer the phone. You're definitely there. Bye.
I sounded way drunker than I was, for the record.
Okay, I was gonna say you seem kind of happy though. Happy drunk right there.
Well, that was, I had a celebratory beer because I've got, so basically we had conditions, we had a list out, and then Kobach lost. We're like, oh man, that should have been on there.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
And then Walker lost. So that was our other one. We took by the house okay. And Walker lost. So I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sorry I missed your call. That would have been a lot of fun. I have no idea what I was doing. Maybe I was dozing in and out or maybe I just missed it. I don't know. But it is about 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, day after the midterms. And before we can actually get into the midterm results, we got some breaking news in the last couple of hours. You want to tell us what's going on, Susan?
It's not a surprise. I mean, probably even the speed's not a surprise. But of course, Sessions has now been fired. Hours after the election's over, yep, Sessions out. But before we get to that, we can at least get over the results. Rabia, what was your immediate take on what happened?
It was a mixed bag, I think, you know?
Yeah,
Dems took
be.
The House. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
all that matters to
I
me.
Mean,
that's all that matters. We took the House back and nothing else really matters.
Look, if the Dems hadn't won the House back then, I think that would have been devastating. And that happening by itself, I mean, I think the Senate results were a little bit surprising. And I think that's what Trump has been touting since last night, congratulating GOP on like a tremendous success of the results, which basically is the GOP took, I think they took like three more seats in the Senate or something. Yeah, and that was not expected. Yeah, they flipped three Senate seats and they defeated a couple of incumbents, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Connolly, and Claire McCaskill. So that kind of sucks, but we have the House and there are some amazing historic wins. I've got a whole paragraph listed to them that I want to talk about in a bit. Well, yeah, mixed bag. What can I say? You know, some of the big races that we were all kind of holding our breath for, Beto, Gillum, Abrams, didn't pan out. Although Abrams, you know, still hanging in there. But
I mean, I would have loved to have seen Cruz lose. So I'm not going to lie. I mean, that would have been nice. But, you know, I wouldn't trade any of it for the House. That's all that mattered. Without the House, we would have no actual check on power. And now there's a tiny one. It's not going to fix everything at all. But there is something. Without that, I think we would be in a, well, we're in a dangerous place anyway. But the danger would be far greater than it currently is. Right. So we got a chance, America.
The Democrats hold now 220 seats in the House. So Nancy Pelosi is going to be speaker again. That's how this works.
Well, they have to vote for it. And apparently,
okay. I don't know how this works.
So
it seems like she keeps coming back.
They have to choose a speaker now. I mean, Paul Ryan's gone. Well, not gone, but effectively gone. We'll be gone in January. What happens next? They choose a new speaker and it'll probably be Nancy Pelosi. We'll see. Although Trump this morning was tweeting out that like, if she needs more votes to get it, he'll order some Republicans to vote for her.
He's being very, very like gracious to Nancy Pelosi all of a sudden, right?
I would love to have heard that call. I would have loved to have heard it. Oh my gosh. Like, you know that she played him so hard and he fell for it.
One of the first things he tweeted, though, after the results came in was a threat, basically, that if the House Dems, you know, start any investigations against me or my family, whatever. I don't know what he said exactly. He's like, you know, we also can
investigate
we can launch investigations. and we'll investigate you for leaking. He is scared shitless, I think. And so I think some of his overtures, and he had a presser today, and in the presser he kept saying, you know, we look forward to some beautiful bipartisanship, you know, using these adjectives that don't make sense. And I feel like he's trying to make these overtures thinking that will help ward off investigations. What do you think?
I mean, the true crisis begins when there's a constitutionally established power that he unambiguously bulks against.
Ignores.
Yeah. And that couldn't happen
like
until
subpoena
now.
Power, right?
Yeah, yeah. That couldn't. That really was not in a position to happen. It did a little bit. The margins, we're already seeing it. But there was never, I mean, just structurally, there was not going to be. I mean, Trump owns the party. The party owned everything. Effectively, there weren't checks on him. So it wasn't as blatant a constitutional crisis because he was never ignoring it. But now he's going to be. So,
right. And all these committees are going to be headed up, right? Including, like, you know, the House Intelligence Committee, the House Judiciary, all these different committees are going to be headed up by, I think Maxine Waters is going to be heading up the House Finance Committee. And they can order all kinds of investigations. If they issue subpoenas, they have subpoena power. Mm-hmm. And the administration says nope, then there you go. That's your constitutional crisis, right? At least one of them.
I mean, we'll see it plays out. But yeah, it's going to be something like that. So Nancy Pelosi is like taking a very bipartisan, like bigger person kind of role here. And Trump seems to be buying it. Like he was calling her like, oh, she loves her country. She's a smart lady. I meant it sincerely, her help. She must have flattered the hell out of him, gave him some lines, knowing that he's going to eat out of her hand for a little bit. It'll work for now anyway.
Well, look, so you've got a couple of months before like the new folks are sworn in. And it seems like starting with what happened with Sessions this morning, like Trump is going to wreak havoc in those next couple of months.
Yeah, it's going to be a really crazy couple months. Mueller did step down a bit late the election. That's definitely going to stop now. I'm sure he has prepared for this event in contingencies. Who knows like what's going on behind the scenes. It's going to be an insanely busy, chaotic, and possibly ruinous time for America the rest of 2018. It's going to go out with the bang.
It's kind of been like a... Yeah, we've been on that roll for a while now. But let me first ask you this, Susan. How was your voting experience, by the way, yesterday?
Oh, don't ask me that.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I am a hypocrite because I did not vote. The lines were very long at my place in D.C., and I was under the wire. I shouldn't have gone to watch the results. I didn't even get the addendum done in time because I was watching the results.
Okay.
It's part of being in D.C. is that... At the end of the day, turns out there's not much you can vote for that matters other than the school board, which I don't actually know anything about.
You don't know anything about, yeah. So I mean, my voting was pretty easy. I went in the middle of the afternoon. There was like literally five people in line. I love where I live. And what was interesting to me, you know, obviously I kind of voted blue all the way down the ballot, but there were so many races. I mean, like, you know, county races and stuff that were just unopposed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, there's so much space for people to take power if they really want to. Or at least challenge it. And every time there's an election, I always note that. I'm like, man, there's all these like county, you know, official seats and just the district attorney race in this county unopposed, you know, it's kind of crazy. So anyway, I do want to say that apparently this midterm had a historic turnout, one of the highest since 1970. Apparently 114 million votes have been cast, according to estimates by New York Times. In 2014, it was 83 million. That is a huge difference. Big, big difference. Another thing that I want to talk about, and this just makes me crazy, is talking about the actual popular vote. So Democrats actually won the popular vote in the Senate races.
Though. It's not for like a national campaign. I mean, it matters. I'm more interested in the state by state result for the gerrymandering. Obviously had a huge effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem with, again, where there are constitutional foundations are facing against demographic realities in the modern age, where the difference in population between the states is so big that these kind of, you know, But say to say that that does matter because you can see that effects of gerrymandering, which are huge, like North Carolina.
Right. Speaking of which, so Pennsylvania, you know, they had some rebordering or whatever it's called, redistricting since the last election. And in that, because of that, I think Democrats picked up four seats in Pennsylvania. So it does make a difference. So I have historically been very bad at taking vitamins because whenever I've wanted to take vitamins, like I end up with a drawer full of stuff because I know I got to take this, that, the other, and I end up taking nothing. But that all changed when I signed up for Ritual a few months ago. Susan, by the way, do you take Ritual?
Yeah, I have historically never tried to take vitamins. So I have no history of failure there, but I've had Ritual and that's so easy that I can't really fail at it.
It's awesome because it's just two daily capsules. It's got the 9 essential nutrients that women need the most, that women lack the most, and just 2 capsules a day and you're done. So Ritual Essential for Women is the multivitamin kind of reimagined. It's got D3, omega-3. It fills in all the gaps in your diet. And one thing I love about it, it's got like, I mean, I don't know if you've taken like other things that have like omega-3, but it's like very fishy. They're awful. But you haven't because you said you haven't tried it.
I have not tried that. I'm glad I have not because that sounds awful.
Yes. Well, Ritual will not give you that awful fishy aftertaste. It's got a fresh minty flavor. It's also vegan friendly. It's sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, allergen-free. It's kind of amazing.
And Ritual is delivered. A subscription is easy to start. And it's easy to snooze. It's only $1 a day to have all the essential nutrients your body needs delivered every month. So whether you're living life or creating it, why not add some good-looking science to your daily routine? Visit ritual.com/45th to start your ritual today. That's ritual.com/45th.
So apparently the GOP reelected 2 indicted senators.
Yeah. Duncan Hunter and Collins both got reelected while they're under indictment. So
also, congratulations, GOP. The dead pimp, the deceased Nevada brothel owner, Dennis Hoff, won the state assembly race. He actually was found dead a few weeks ago at his brothel by porn actor Ron Jeremy. And he still won.
Yep.
It's amazing. All right. Okay. So you want to talk a little bit about like the historic wins?
I mean, taking back the house is the only one I care about, but there were a lot of...
Well, there were a lot of wins that I think for a lot of people, you know, are representative of their communities. And so it's a big deal for them. Number one, I have to say it's great that like 100 new women have been elected to the house. It's, I think we're basically, there's more women now in Congress than at any time before. We have 2.
I love those articles. They're like, should we elect more millennials? I'm like, I don't see if you have there's not really a choice here. You're going to have to.
Right. At some point. Yeah. We mentioned this in our little Patreon thing, but for those who didn't hear it at the time, I don't know if both these results came in, but 2 Muslim American women have been elected to Congress, which is kind of amazing. Rashida Tlaib from Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, both Democrats. Let's see, there's 2 Native American women who've been elected to Congress, Sharice Davids and Deb Haaland. On top of which, Sharice Davids, I believe, is the first LGBTQ woman to be elected to Congress. We've got the first Muslim Attorney General, Keith Ellison. You've got the first openly gay man to become governor, Colorado Democrat Jared Polis.
So I saw that earlier, and I was wondering, has this been a lesbian that's been a governor? Is it openly gay?
Yeah, Kate Brown, Oregon.
Got it.
You've got South Dakota's first female governor, Republican Kristi Noem. The youngest person to ever go to Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I still can't get over the fact that she was bartending a couple years ago.
There were 2 29-year-olds that were elected this year.
Oh, that's right. Actually, I saw a 19-year-old that was elected to state assembly or something. Huh. New York's first black attorney general ever, Letitia James. First woman of color, Rachel Rollins, to ever be a district attorney in the entire state of Massachusetts, is now the DA of Suffolk County. So, you know, a lot of firsts, and that's good. That's good. And even if you look at, I mean, like, for example, you know, Florida, Gillum, it was, you know, these were really, Gillum, Abrams, these are well-fought races that were very close, I think.
In Georgia, Texas, and Florida are now battleground. Well, Florida always, but Georgia and Texas are on your battleground list. That's not a bad thing.
Right. Do you know what the Abrams challenge is looking like right now? Is it still, I mean, I think she's still holding out, has not conceded.
She's not conceded, and I just can't figure out what the actual totals are, what the status is. I did see that McBath won, which I personally despise Karen Handel on multiple levels. So, yeah, that is awesome. She's the one whose son was murdered a few years back by someone who thought he was playing his music too loud. And she defeated Karen Handel, who had the election last year against Ossoff, where she narrowly won. But this time, she went down. And I also have long held a grudge against her. When I was in law school, I interned for a judge. I was handling a lawsuit where she was involved in how humane societies were run and basically gassing puppies in inhumane ways and refused to abide by court orders. Yeah. So ever since then, I've never had much fondness for her.
That's evil, man. That's pretty evil. Like you said earlier in the episode, you should have been celebrating when Kris Kobach lost the governor's race in Kansas.
No, Robbie, I'm really worried.
What are you worried about?
I don't know what's true. I want it to be fake news. For once, I want the fake news to be real.
Are saying he's going to be the attorney general?
Oh, no.
I just said it out loud. Okay, but look. What about Lindsey Graham? He's been sucking up for this position for months
now. Oh, he didn't get it. He already
now.
Conceded on Twitter. He's like, I'm going to be in part of the new majority of the Republicans. Like, everyone knows you're salty about it. You can stop trying to pretend tweet way around it.
There's also Jeanine Pirro. Okay, she really wants a job, too. I mean.
Oh, no.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and because I listen to a lot of podcasts, I also like listening to audiobooks. What about you? Do you listen to audiobooks, Susan?
I probably listen to more audiobooks than I do podcasts. I have been on Audible for a long time now. I have a huge library, and I am a big fan. I will say sometimes I worry I read less than I used to, but I love it so much. It just works better with my schedule.
Well, the thing is, I mean, when you're listening to an audiobook, you can do a lot of other things at the same time, right? Like I'm driving. I can't not read
Definitely
a book when I'm
can't
driving. Anything you've heard recently? Because I just listened to a book recently that I love and I want to share with the audience.
So honestly, if you saw my Audible library, it'd be like, it is like 90% sci-fi and fantasy.
Oh, sci-fi. Okay. Well, mine is mostly mysteries and true crime, and which is why I recently listened to Fact of a Body. And actually, I had read the book first, and then I went and listened to the audio version because it's narrated by the writer, Alexandria Marzano-Lesnovich. The book itself, to me, is tremendous. I actually even went on another podcast to talk about the book. And then I love listening to the audiobook because it's also a memoir. It's not just a true crime story. It's a memoir, so having, you know, the writer talk about her life and experience was really fantastic. Now, every month, Audible members get one credit that's good for any audiobook that they choose, and you get two Audible originals from a changing selection. Your books are yours to keep. You can go back and re-listen anytime, even, by the way, if you cancel your membership. And if you didn't like your audiobook, well, you can just exchange it with no questions asked, and I think that's amazing.
I'm kind of like, now, I always wonder how they can do that. Because I've used it probably, I mean, 30 times maybe, but over the years I've had books, I'm like, this book sucks, and you just change it in, no questions asked, and no one ever, like, challenges you. Like, first time I did it, I'm like, are they going to ask me, is this book really that bad? Really? You want to turn it back in? No.
Are they coming to arrest you for it?
Yeah.
That's pretty
she
amazing.
Lied. She actually liked this book, and she returned it.
Right. That's a great guarantee. And our listeners can start a 30-day trial and get your first audiobook for free. All you have to do is go to audible.com/45th, or you can text 45th to 500-500 and get started. Once again, that's audible.com/45th, or you can text 45th to 500-500 to get started. Well, I want to remind our listeners of Chris. We talked about him in previous episodes. He was the Kansas Secretary of State, total nativist, total crackpot, like just a complete racist. He was claiming for a long time that a lot of non-citizens were voting. He also led Trump's voter fraud commission that just completely failed, had no results to turn over. But he lost. Democrat Laura Kelly is now the governor of Kansas. So you go, Kansas.
But no way to go for Iowa, who elected Steve King.
Oh, God, that's right. I forgot about him.
At least it was close. I mean, that's something.
Dana Rohrabacher's gone, right?
Yes, he's gone.
Yes. All right. That feels good.
I don't think he was expected to lose either. I thought, if I recall right, they were projecting him to be pretty safe.
Right. But. So that's good. I mean, that's what I mean by mixed bag. You know, this. I feel like we are definitely better than we were 2 days ago. We're better off.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well,
there you
yeah.
go. That's all that matters.
I mean, yes, it was not like there was no change in the current political and gerrymandered climate. There was never going to be a blue wave. This is effectively a blue wave. Like, this is what a blue wave in reality is going to look like.
Blue splash.
Wasn't the total, not the national matters strictly, but speaking like the total vote was plus 10 for the Democrats or something around there.
Oh, okay.
That was an earlier count. I have no idea where we're standing now, but. The thing is, this is a good outcome. The Senate was like, it was structurally just not a good election year. Even independent of everything else that's abnormal and crazy right now, that was just not a good position to be in for Democrats. We took the House. I mean, it's not all that matters, but it's all that matters right now.
Right. I like I said, it's a step forward. It's progress. I mean, yeah, this is going to lead to, I think, some real testing of our laws and constitution going forward. Do you think the Democrats are going to like really bring all these investigations that they've been threatening?
Yeah, I think they're not going to go as hard as like they could or people want to. And I hope they'll err on the side of going harder rather than trying to be all, let's just talk about the issues. But yeah, they're going to go after him.
Right.
I mean, there's so much that should have been done. Like, there's just absolutely should have been done by any function in Congress that wasn't done. And they're going to be doing that.
Right. So, you know, just for them to restore normalcy will be like kind of radical at this point. So there's a whole slew of criminal justice measures, good ones that happened across the country. And I thought we would talk about that since that is the other hat that we both wear. So in Dallas and Houston, an entire slate of GOP judges voted out, which is kind of tremendous. In fact, in Harris County, which covers, I think, Houston, every single elected position is now held by a Democrat. In Florida, we talked about this in the Patreon, Amendment 4 passed, meaning 1.4 million felons apparently can now vote, with the exception of depending on some of the more serious felonies. Another amendment that I haven't seen a lot of news about, but also very important, Amendment 11 passed in Florida. Yep. So that sentencing reforms can apply retroactively. That is a big deal. That's a big deal. Nashville passed an Amendment 1 that created a police oversight board with subpoena power to investigate police misconduct. Good job, Nashville. We've got a couple of incumbents coming back in Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf, and in Oregon, Kate Brown. And those guys being reelected means that the moratoriums on executions in those states will continue for 4 years. And then there's a couple of progressive DAs elected. Louisiana, this is kind of big news. So up until now, Louisiana and Oregon were the only two states left in which non-unanimous juries could convict. Right, could convict on a felony. Louisiana now eliminated that law. So in Louisiana now, you need a unanimous jury, right? Oregon is the only state left.
Get it together, Oregon. Right. I don't know what's up with that, but y'all need to fix it.
It's very odd to me that that's like that.
I mean, it makes sense, but Louisiana being weird, because Louisiana is like often the outlier because of its sort of unique history. But like Oregon, like what's your excuse?
I don't know. But Oregon did do good on this, that the voters blocked an effort to repeal a sanctuary city law that was being led by this group of sheriffs across the state. So they blocked it. They're like, nope, leave the sanctuary cities alone.
So we're gearing up for a political marathon next few weeks, months, heading into hopefully not forever. But get through it. Try Liquid IV. Liquid IV helps with hydration. It helps fight altitude sickness if you're traveling, recovery after a night out if you've been out drinking, and it helps with jet lag when traveling.
Liquid IV is basically not your average electrolyte drink mix. It's non-GMO. It's got clean ingredients. It's a great alternative to like traditional sports drinks. I know, you know, some of those gravitate towards like the same old staples, but you know, they have a lot of sodium and stuff. But Liquid IV, you just add it to your water. It's vegan, free of gluten, dairy, and soy, and it can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Kind of amazing. And by the way, I have been using Liquid IV because it helps fuel tough workouts. And lately I have been in the middle of some of the toughest high intensity interval training workouts of my life. And it helps prevent muscle fatigue. So I drink it after my workout to help recover. So I love Liquid IV and I know that you will too. Right now, our listeners get 20% off at liquid-iv.com when you use our code 45th at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquid-iv.com and enter our promo code 45th to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquid-iv.com, promo code 45th. Don't wait, get hydrated today. You want to talk a little bit about how the president has reacted?
Oh my God. I'll never get used to it. No one's ever going to get used to that. When he gave another press conference today and it was a stumbling, awkward, defensive, racist shit show.
Well, you know, what's funny is like all the tweets he sent out before that were seemed like really like high energy and positive, and he seemed like just a deflated, cranky asshole.
Actually, it's
conference.
A good thing for us that the Democrats won. Actually, that's how I would want it.
That's exactly how I would want it. Well, let's listen to him being a cranky bastard.
And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that... that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim. In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either. So
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can.
You aren't the best,
Mr. President. You repeatedly, over the course.
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President.
So what else in that press conference? To be honest, I didn't hear the whole thing. I just saw clips of it.
He went full on racist. Did. Three times he had three reporters with accents ask questions and he said, "I can't understand you." Yeah.
No, Susan.
Yeah, that really did happen. Oh, did you hear we called Michelle Almodor? Or she asked him about his declaration as a nationalist?
I did see that clip.
My God.
He said, "You're a racist."
All right, no, he said, that's a racist question, which, no, it's not. And also, he didn't really deny it, so.
I mean, so he was like, "I love my country, so I'm a nationalist. I love the world, but that doesn't mean I'm a global." I refuse to believe he doesn't understand what that terminology actually means.
I mean, I don't think he understands the full, total implications, because he's not, he does not understand the nuances there.
Not very bright.
He gets the general idea. He knows what he's saying. He might not get the whole full context. Bannon can explain that to him. He'll forget it.
He knows there is a white nationalist base that uses this terminology that he is speaking to, and he kind of, either doesn't know or doesn't care, or is doing it deliberately. But either way, he doubled down on his globalist versus nationalist shit at the press conference. Yeah. What else happened? Oh, yeah, I think he blamed Obama for
For Crimea.
Putin. For Putin grabbing the Crimea.
Yeah. And twice. He was like, they pushed back against it, and he doubled down. He's like, yeah, that was the Obama regime that did that. My God.
What does that even mean? Does he mean Obama, invaded the Crimea? What is he saying?
It means he can't attack Putin for it. So this is, his only other, comeback, is to somehow claim that it's actually secretly Obama. Yeah, no, it's just nonsense. It's a way designed to avoid, somehow, in this context, criticizing Putin, who he's going to meet in a few days.
Oh, shit. Really? Where? Yeah. In D.C.?
No, in Paris.
All right. Putin, just take him back with you. We don't want him. Is that, by the way, it just occurred to me, it's the fall. Wasn't there supposed to be a military parade now?
Oh, they canceled October, that because it was too expensive.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
So instead, we're sending troops to the border for political reasons.
Yeah, by the way, no mention of the caravan in the last couple of days. Apparently now it's not a concern.
Yeah.
All the bloodthirsty immigrants heading our way have suddenly disappeared. So let's see if I have a feeling the troops are not going to happen either. I mean,
it was just
a ploy. It's a ploy. So let's talk a little bit about what the Session resignation means right now. And Session, I don't know if you saw the letter, but the letter was
undated.
Because of your request, at your request, I'm resigning.
Undated.
He's fired.
He wrote it.
Undated.
Wait. Well, that's the thing though. This is an important issue because was he fired or did he resign? I think it looks like mostly he resigned. That's probably how it's going to come down to it. But if he'd actually enforced Trump to fire him and he didn't give this forced resignation, that could affect Trump's ability to replace him. So, but it looks like right now that's not going to be the case because Sessions would never do anything good. That's not his thing. Now we've got this guy named Matt Whitaker, who is the acting attorney general and in charge of the Mueller probe. And also he has suggested that, the Mueller thing is a lynch mob that needs to be shut down. I've been reading about him too. And did you know that he thinks Marbury versus Madison is a bad law? He wants to overturn that.
What?
Yep, he wants to overturn the ability of the Supreme Court that be basically have power as a co-equal branch of government.
So maybe he will be the actual permanent attorney general then.
He'll be acting for, because, I mean, well, it depends if he can get a replacement through, which he probably can, because they have more in the Senate. I mean, who knows? But this guy is bad news bears and kind of a nutcase. And also apparently tweeted back in 2010 that, like, David Matthews is the new Jimmy Buffett. So, this guy's bad news.
Do you think this threatens the to shut
down the
entire
point? That's the whole point. Of course it does. That's the entire point. We are fully on board. Like, we are on the obstruction train right now. And it's a question if he can, like, squash democracy before actual investigations.
Come on, Mueller. We need some indictments. Everybody was hoping for some indictments to happen today. I mean, the day's not quite over.
It's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. We'll see what happens. Obviously, Mueller. I mean, Mueller can't save us. This is not going to... It's a good thing, all things considered, Mueller stays there, but Mueller could never save us, so we'll see what happens. If there's not the political will to actually care if Trump is corrupt and conspiring against the U.S., then Mueller doesn't matter.
All right. Let's take a little bit of a step back now and think about 2020, because basically now we're in campaign.
No, Rabia, I can't. No. I can't, Rabia.
No, let me just ask you this.
Too soon.
Yeah, I know it's too soon, but let me just ask you this. We are better off than we were a couple of days ago, but there is still seems like tremendous support.
Oh, of course.
For this white nationalist GOP agenda, which to me feels like this guy could get 4 more years.
Oh, yeah, because they don't need to get electoral majorities, and they have the white grievance thing locked up pretty good. I mean, that's the secret. I mean, the good news is the Republican base is going to die off much faster than the Democratic base is. So that's going to shift.
Oh, we just got to wait about 25 years.
Not even that
years,
long. But yeah, no, like, seriously, like, Republicans are the parties of white grievance, and they're going to exploit that all the way and use their ability to win votes without winning majorities to stay in power as long as possible. One day that will fold. One day that will stop working. We're quite a ways off from it now, much farther than I'd like to be. So it's a question of how much farther they can ride that train. Because demographically, it's going to be over for them. They cannot, even with the most voter suppression they can manage, eventually math's going to win. So what are they going to do in the next 10 years, 15 years before that happens?
I don't know. Ruin everything.
They're going to try.
All right.
Well, things are going to, I mean, I suspect we're going to see some, like, crazy, no holds barred stuff coming out next few days. Then again, it's like not inconceivable that the Mueller thing could be shut down with a whimper. I don't think that's how it's going to happen, but we're going to find out pretty soon. Also, there's all the rumors going around about Trump Jr. facing an indictment. I don't know. I can't tell if that's a rumor or what, but hey, maybe that's something.
You think anybody else is going to be, like, booted from the administration?
From the administration? I mean, I'm sure they will be. It's a question of who. I mean, that's not abnormal, too. After, it's pretty common, like, this in most administrations, you'd see some turnover right now. I think we'll see a lot more than normal. And I'm not even sure. I mean, eventually, the rumors about Kelly have to be true, right? Eventually. So.
Eventually.
I bet he'll be gone.
I don't know.
We're going to see if Zinke can survive his current criminal referral. We're going to see... Oh, God, I really don't want to have Kobach as AG. That's like a nightmare. I just don't want to. I don't want to do it, Rabia.
I mean, other than being a completely, you know, racist, bigot, all, and he's also completely incompetent. I mean, like, everything he touches, he runs into the ground. So there's that.
I guess that's better than having Sessions, who's actually good at what he does.
Right.
I'm just tired.
We all tired. All right. Well, have a drink on my behalf.
Well, so with the extra, the extra bottle of champagne that we fell asleep before we actually found out about Walker, we've redesignated it to be the Jared indictment bottle.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I hope you can get to it soon then. All right. Thanks so much, Susan. And thank you guys for tuning in this week. We will be back in 7 days. Big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.
done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.